We're back, and a half hour to close out weekend preview at the races, brought to you by Twin Spires. And Nick Tamaro is going to swing in, do something a little different with Nick, because I think we're going to, you know, maybe pick off a variety of interesting spots. I asked Nick to do some panning for gold. And Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
I'm good. A quick Sam Houston conversation, because last night, the first of the non-jackpot Space City pick sixes, and of course, it immediately carries over, and it was a lot of fun. I you know, did okay. I missed the multis because of that one tricky horse in the ninth. Upon further review, that horse was very usable, but it was an exercise worth engaging in.
Yeah, it worked out well. I think, you know, I wonder, truthfully, I would have to ask Frank and other track management how much they anticipated there could be carryovers with the 50-cent increment. And, you know, now there's 12,000 in the pot to get started tonight. And I think the structure of the nighttime racing is going to be a little bit better for things to handle a little bit more this evening. And so I think it'll do well. You know, I think there'll be probably get, you know, hopefully up to 50 or 60,000. I hope people continue to support it. And I think the racing is competitive tonight. So it should, you know, should go well, and we'll see if it just continues.
I printed it out. I did not necessarily expect it to carry, actually. So I was a little surprised. Plus, there's Turfway's pick five carryover. So if people don't have Friday night plans, how about a pick five carryover and then a pick six carryover at Turfway and at Sam Houston? Let's kind of move around, pick out some spots, Nick. What do we like tomorrow?
I mean, I guess we always talk a little bit about Aqueduct, so I can at least mention there. You know, the featured race is not really anything to be particularly enamored with, but there are some competitive races towards the end of the card, and I think that that's probably going to offer at least a, you know, decent enough set of opportunities. The featured tomorrow goes late in the card, the Franklin Square, which brings together a couple of decent-looking two-year-old New York breds. We saw Todd Fletcher kind of dominate the male half of this, the Rego Park, last weekend, and now he's got the likely heavy favorite on the inside, Bay K, who was an impressive winner in the Key Sense, won on debut as well. So it looks as if she's got a pretty bright future. Daughter of Not This Time, Lauban and a Prayer is in there though, so that's going to be interesting. We saw Lauban and a Prayer for Danny Velasquez run well now on two occasions in a row in New York, and has amassed a pretty nice bankroll with both of those victories. And we'll see if she can kind of continue on. The good thing about it is, as far as playing any of these multi-race sequences, I think you're going to be able to use just those two and kind of move on from there. And actually, the nightcap tomorrow at Aqueduct is a really interesting one, other than for older horses. And I was very foolish last time in liking C'est Moi when she was just terrible. I thought cutting back in distance, it would really suit her quite well. She did no running whatsoever. Critical Value was also a complete no-show in there and is now going to look to turn things around. Went off 7-1 that day, probably going to be a somewhat similar price. There's a couple of horses that are going to take some money in here that I'm a little skeptical of, including Maiden Beauty, who's second off the claim by Tony Dutrow. Looks like Tony Dutrow's barn is starting to kind of get going again, and that's nice to see, because of course he's been one of the better trainers around for many years. And you have Love and Love for Mike Maselli, who's been a very classy and consistent horse, seems to be rounding back into form now, coming off a nice win, and we've seen Mike Maselli do good things over the last year or so. So that was a really interesting spot. I don't particularly like anybody. I have divorced myself from C'est Moi. I think Toned Up might be a little interesting, cutting back now from the mile and an eighth to the mile, being able to sit back and make one run. Hopefully there's a little bit of pace in front of her, and that'll make things a little bit more interesting. But, yeah, those were kind of the highlighted spots on the Aqueduct card. It's Gravy in the seventh. It's going to be a big favorite. So if you're playing that late pick five, you might end up landing there and not really having to go terribly deeper than that, which is always nice. And so that was it for me as far as Aqueduct. We talked, you and I touched on Tampa, and said there's a couple of nice three-year-old sprint stakes at Tampa, and of course the Pasco is a race that was won by Win 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 a couple of years ago in a campaign that or in his career, of course, that ended up with, I'm sorry, not the Pasco, the Wayward Lass is tomorrow. The Wayward Lass looks like an interesting race for older females. Mike Trombetta has Lucky Shride coming in off a second-place finish at Laurel, where she rallied well from off the pace behind a repeat winner. And she was a horse who amassed a tremendous record in Puerto Rico and then came to America and has actually run well on numerous occasions now. So it'll be interesting to see how she performs, maybe facing weaker horses than she has thus far in her career. And before that, you had a kind of an interesting allowance race for I'm all over the place. The Pasco is tomorrow. The Pasco is the 7th.
Yeah, Pasco and the Gasparilla.
So, right. Pasco and Gasparilla are tomorrow. Yeah, and so the interesting thing to me about the Pasco, and I looked at this 2 days ago and almost forgot where it was. Too many races, you know. The interesting thing about the Pasco is that you have a horse like Nova Rags. Nova Rags was a really impressive debut winner for Bill Mott, and he ran down a couple of horses that had battled on the front end, and they kind of slugged it out from the start before tiring. And then he came back and ran poorly in the Nashua. And, you know, the Nashua was a race that really has not held up necessarily to scrutiny. And I don't want to be too harsh about it because I don't think 10 for 10 ran poorly in the Remsen. But the winner, of course, has not performed well since in a couple of starts. And 10 for 10 probably was helped by a wet track in the Remsen. I still think Nova Rags might end up being an interesting horse. And this feels like really the right spot for him going 7/8. This is a race that, of course, has been kind of a jump start for a few horses in the past. I believe World of Trouble, one eventual Grade 1 winner, won this race by 14 lengths or so a few years ago. And I mentioned Win Win Win, who won the Pasco back in 2019, and then ended up, of course, becoming a Grade 1 winner, winning the Forgo last year. So interesting bunch. There should be enough pace for a horse like Nova Rags to run at. Ahimelech looks like he's got some speed. I think you'll see a little bit of speed from the Distractor. A couple of these horses are getting Lasix for the first time, having not used it thus far. Nova Rags still racing without it, which I thought probably won't make much of a difference in how he performs. The filly half of the 2 3-year-old stakes is the Gasparilla, and it looked like a more competitive race to me. Big Rings is the morning line favorite, and along with Feeling Mischief, they're 2-1 and 5-2. Both have credentials that make them win candidates. I thought Feeling Mischief's win in the Sandpiper was very good. It was a very sort of soft trip outside, stalking the pace and then pouncing when ready. She now goes second off a short layoff from Michael Campbell. Should get a very similar trip in that she figures to be outside, stalking the pace before pouncing on them late. The pace in the race two back at Keeneland was very strong in a race that was eventually won by the Grasses Blue, who came from a mile out. And then underperformed Breeders' Cup weekend. So I think you can count on Feeling Mischief running a very solid race. I thought Adios Trippy was interesting on the cutback, and then that's kind of the horse that I would look forward to betting. I thought that I like horses like this that show speed going long, then cut back to 7/8, even if it's just a mile to 7/8. I think it's a good thing generally, and this is a horse who I think will be able to finish a bit. Obviously, Antonio Gallardo being on board is a good thing. Big Rings, who I mentioned, is new to the barn of Carlos David. This barn has done very well with new arrivals to it. There's a bit of pedigree behind that barn that makes you take notice occasionally. This one's also getting Lasix for the first time in blinkers. So I wouldn't be surprised if Big Rings runs an improved race. She's more of a late running type, will benefit if there's pace in front of her. And I think she's a horse that you obviously have to use if you're playing a multi-race bet, because this is the spot where their pick six starts. Luckily, it is not included in the pick five.
That's Tampa action and Aqueduct. And by the way, back to Aqueduct for 1 second. I would not leave us off that seventh race, at least as a backup, because I got a feeling Scherzando gets the lead in here with the addition of Kendrick. So,
yeah, you know, I that's actually a good point, and I was negligent in not mentioning Scherzando, who I thought ended up landing in a really tough race on debut. So, I mean, I think that, and I think he was actually doing a little bit of running early, which to me, he looks like a horse who'll benefit a lot from having that race under him. And again, with Kendrick getting on an inside post, you can figure he's going to be sent to the lead. The experienced horses, it's not as if a lot of them look particularly tough. Obviously, it's gravy. If he improves at all off his last start, he'll win. But there's no certainty.
Yeah, I you know, I was not unhappy with the spot. There's, you know, there's some horses that look like turf horses. I mean, frankly, we may end up being a turf horse. We don't know yet, but and we're not going to have a chance to find out if that's the case for, you know, another 75 days. So here we are.
Good thing comes to those who wait, right, Steve?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. What else we got?
You know, I mean, we can touch on these Sam Houston races tonight and tomorrow, especially with there being a carryover. I don't know. You know, I know most people podcast, and so tonight is not as big a deal as tomorrow. But, I mean, tonight's card will be interesting from the pick six perspective because you definitely had some bigger fields. The field size wasn't quite as big Saturday night. But tonight's sequence, just looking at it real quick, starts off with newly turned or maidens, 4- and 5-year-old going long on the turf. There are a couple of horses in here moving to the turf that'll take money, including Dashboard from Mike Stidham. The dam was a 3-time turf winner. Progeny of City Zip win first time on the turf at a 14% clip. So there's obviously plenty to like there. Brett Calhoun has Schemer going second off the layoff after running a really good second in his turf debut at Sam Houston back in March of 2020. I think that they'll command the majority of the attention. Copper King is moving back to the turf after running a kind of an even race, rallying into a slow pace at Turfway last time. You know, one of the things I talked about last week, and we saw it play out on opening weekend, is that these Steve Asmussen horses take a ton of support at the windows, and it's a matter of when you can find spots to maybe bet against them. I thought Copper King might be the kind of horse that you wanted to take a little bit of a swing against, but in a pick six, you definitely want to include him because it's probably going to be foolish to be beaten by him, especially if you have decent opinions the rest of the way. Maddie's Music and Honey Hush feel like the two that are going to take the majority of the action in the next race. Distorted Flash as well, dropping back and for a tag. Lower percentage connections there, but this is a horse who's drawn favorably on the outside. I would think will run a good race. I don't see why this isn't the right class level, and they've tried a couple of different things along the way. When she's faced claimers, she's been at her absolute best, so no real surprise there. I think I made her 2-1, so she should be the favorite. Not that I haven't gotten plenty of these wrong already. Seventh race is a good claiming race. Two life claimers, the cheaper variety. You know, this is an interesting one because La Rosa Drive is coming off a 70 buyer figure in her first start for Robertino Diodoro at Remington and now faces even lesser in terms of the class angle. She's going to be a horse that a lot of people lean on in this pick six. And the problem is that Diodoro's horses have not run at all so far through the first three cards of this meet. And that, I think, is a cause for concern. I do think if you find yourself looking for a place where you can narrow down, I think that she ends up being that horse, whether her 70 buyer figure will hold up or not. 10 Hurdles is one who I thought would take a little bit of money. Interestingly, at the beginning of the 2020 meet, trainer Lee Rossi did very well. Hit a couple of big-priced winners early, so obviously sent some horses in that were live. One guy I would mention also that doesn't have a ton of horses at Sam Houston is Brian Williamson. Has started, I think, 3 horses. He's got a win and a second, including a good second-place finish in the nightcap yesterday. So those are guys that are newer to the colony, training colony, who've obviously sent the right horses. The eighth race is on the turf. Good field, kind of an interesting bunch. I had a really hard time figuring out who's even going to be the favorite. There's a number of horses coming out of a common race at Remington, and I was sort of sifting through that form to figure out maybe who ran the best, who was going to get bet, so on and so forth. Mighty Merle is a very tepid 7-2, a morning line favorite coming in off a narrow miss at Remington. I thought that he was probably the most consistent horse in the race, but there were definitely some question marks about whether he was going to be quite good enough to get the job done. It looks as if there's going to be a lot of pace in here, so I think you might want one from a little bit off of it. This is the race, I think, where you have to be as liberal as possible in terms of using horses so that you can just stay alive. The ninth is a 3-life claimer with what should be a pretty heavy favorite in Good Scout for J.R. Caldwell, who had a good opening weekend himself. He had a couple of wins. This one drops from 25 to 15, draws really favorably on the outside. I think making outside moves on the dirt right now is ideal. Felt a little bit like that way yesterday, but felt a little bit more so over opening weekend. And that takes you to a $7,500 maiden claimer nightcap where Moonrise Kingdom is going to be a really big favorite, dropping from 25 down to the basement for Brett Calhoun, who very much on a yearly basis does well at this meet. He's sent more horses starting in 2020. I think you can expect this one to run well. And if she runs to her last start, she's going to win. So I think you can probably structure some of your multi-race plays so that you just really try to get to Moonrise Kingdom who figures to really not face a whole lot of resistance in here unless one of the lightly raced horses, like maybe Trinity Queen for Austin Gustafson, runs an improved race. It just felt to me like this was kind of the time for Moonrise Kingdom. Stone Top's going to take plenty of money for Steve Asmussen. Did chase a hot pace last time before tiring. This looks like kind of a give-up. Yeah, maiden special all the way to 7,500. I don't see how you can have a lot of confidence in Stone Top. So that's how it looks tonight with the $12,000 carryover. Obviously, there should be a decent amount of money a bet into that. I'll just touch on a couple of spots tomorrow night that I thought were interesting. The ninth race is a four-life claimer, which is a condition that they write somewhat frequently at Sam Houston. And you have a horse in it who actually flirted with some opportunities on the Derby trail last year in Code Runner. It was 89-1 in the Arkansas Derby, so I'm not being too too forgiving in terms of how he performed. But it's an interesting bunch. That's a horse that's going to take a lot of money, probably doesn't have much of a chance. Wonders of His Love was very impressive in winning an allowance race at Sam Houston in March of last year before going up to Lone Star and performing well, including a win in the Groovy, and he looks like the controlling speed in there. So I'm interested in seeing how the public handles him. There are a couple of horses like At Attention and the aforementioned Code Runner who are going to take some money in there. I thought that if you could get a decent price on Wonders of His Love, he might be one that just wires the field. The eighth race is an interesting bunch at a mile. Paddock Pick is a horse that has had some past opportunities against Stakes Company, now is looking to find his spot, dropping in class for Carl Broberg. St. Louis Guy comes in off a really good effort. It was a good mixture of horses coming in from Delta and Remington that have performed well recently. I ended up making St. Louis Guy the morning line favorite, mainly because of that 81 buyer figure and the fact he's taken a pretty nice step forward since being claimed back in October. Scott Young's a trainer that I think some people got familiar with while we were all betting on Will Rogers last year, and he won a lot of races up there. I think he won at almost a 25 or 30% clip during that meet, so we've seen him continue to do well. He had a nice win on opening weekend, including during that forced out pick six sequence on Saturday night. Now, Frank Lucarelli has a few horses on the card, including Southern Thunder, who's the outside runner in that eighth race. He ran really well when he won a $10,000 claimer at Pleasanton, and I think he's a horse that's probably hurt only by the post position draw, but if he's able to take back and make one run, he can certainly be very dangerous. So, yeah, it's another a little bit more approachable card tomorrow night. If for some reason the pick six carries over again, I think a lot of people will find their way into the pools because the fields aren't quite as big, but there's no doubt the racing's been really... Not that I'm a chill or anything, but and because I am, but the racing is really good and really fun at Sam Houston, and it's on at the right time of night.
It's great, and you know I had a lot of fun yesterday with Chris Griffin, and I gave out a nice price, and Chris gave out one as well, and so we a lot of people signed on and played. I got a couple of really. Really nice notes, the people that I hope in a lot of cases are looking at the signal for the first time and enjoying it. And we're going to, between you and Chris and, I'm sure we'll bring Jessica Paquette in. I don't know if people saw Trace Stiles is doing tabs for the card. I mean, you got some real help looking at these races. I think
Trey has qualified for almost every single NHC. Yeah. He and I had lunch a couple years ago. I told him he's the only person in Houston who's qualified for the NHC more than me. And he's qualified for the NHC like 12 times more than I have. So, yeah, he's done really well.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer, absolutely, and deservedly so. And I think his best NHC to date was actually last year. So, he's terrific. And he and Chris have been doing the Sharpie Time kind of preview show. Continuing to do that, and Trey gives out a pick four ticket, and they've got some pick five tickets, and Jessica Paquette giving stuff out. And, you know, yesterday was the first 4 o'clock start, and I think in terms of looking at handle numbers, it was about what you'd expect. First couple of races were a little soft, but then when Sam Houston became the only signal going, which was a chunk of time, or one of two, things picked up. And if you compare it to the first Wednesday of last year, I want to say they were up about 10%. So it's a good start and continued momentum coming off that good opening weekend. And I think as the public gets the 4 o'clock Wednesday starts entrenched a bit more into 4 o'clock Thursday, excuse me, before Wednesday's kicking in February, then everybody will be even more on top of it. And you're doing certainly quite a bit to help that as well.
Well, and anytime we got anything that you can contribute, we'll, let me know. And are we doing the holiday Monday? We got Monday action.
It wouldn't be a holiday if we didn't do Holiday Monday, right? I mean, it's kind of, I was having lunch with my dad last week, and he said, has Oakland started yet? Or when does it start? I think he thought it started today. And I said, next week. And he's like, how can it not be open on the holiday? Which was always, you know, always handicapped the Smarty Jones usually was opening weekend at Oakland. But I think Oakland draws their first card today.
Right now, yeah, they're drawing
opening
now.
Opening day is next Friday. But, yeah, I'll be back for the Holiday Monday. I believe the Interborough is Monday at Aqueduct and is going to feature our good friend Marshall Graham's Portal Creek, who was second most recently in the Gopher Wand, whichever race was on. Wand that was on the Cigar Mile undercard. She narrowly missed that day. Got a 96 buyer, and she'll be back in there. He has Lucky Move on Sunday as well in the ladies, which is a race where she finished a good second last year and is now racing for the first time without Lasix, which is a major concern, but that, of course, is a topic that you and I could touch on privately, which would probably benefit ourselves and everybody else. But, I'm happy to come back on Monday. I'm sure there's plenty that I can scare up to discuss, if not just Aqueduct or something beyond.
Casey's trying to run down Mike Welch to close out the morning. We've only got 5 minutes, even if we get Mike. But what did you think about Fairgrounds, about the LeCompte?
You know, I didn't look a whole heck of a lot. I will tell you that having played that Stars of Tomorrow card and having paid a decent amount of attention to it, I remember thinking that Mandaloon was just an enormous bet against wherever he surfaced again. I thought that he beat a very suspect field and had a very nice trip doing so. But, you know, at the same time, I feel like you're beating your head against the wall when you take these big stands against Brad Cox horses, especially in a scenario where they're running on a big day. And granted, I mean, they have about four big cards at Fairgrounds, and it seems like he's very well represented each time. I bet Arabian Prince in the Kentucky Jockey Club, he didn't have anything go wrong. He just feels like a horse that's gradually getting better. I think that he's going to run a better race. I don't know if it's necessarily going to be good enough, but I thought he was a little bit interesting. He seems like he fits from a speed figure perspective, and that he's going to have to improve a whole heck of a lot. And I think Mandaloon's a horse that I would be willing to take a swing against. It also feels to me like there's going to be some pace in there. And if there is, then it'll help Arabian Prince, and he'll be the right kind of, the right kind of horse price-wise. So I guess I sort of reluctantly land there, and that my opinion mainly is more of an anti-Mandaloon than anything else.
Fair enough. I'm glad I asked. Nick Tamaro, everybody. NTAM, NTAMM, 1215. We'll talk Monday. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll close out. We've only got about 4 minutes, but that might be enough to check in with Mike Welch, DRF Welch, at Gulfstream. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Real quick, Mike, it's one of these kind of placeholder cards with Sunshine Millions, Remnants, a couple of good maiden races, but pretty much everything is a pause here until next Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Sunshine Million ain't what it used to be, and it ain't what it was last year. I mean, last year the Classic had a $200,000 purse. This year it's down to $75,000 plus the $25,000 bonus to the winner if he's eligible for the Sire Series. So the money is certainly, you know, not what it was, and the whole event is not what it was when it first started out here. I don't know, what is it, about 15, 20 years ago now, with the competition between California and Florida breds, and it was a real big deal back then.
Well, looking through the card, there's some familiar. Doesn't mean that there aren't some good races, but Brendan Walsh has got Extravagant Kid headlining the sprint. I see a couple of interesting horses in the turf, including Proven Strategies and Shamrocket, Venezuelan Hug. That actually looks like a nice group. Then there's a couple of nice maiden races. Hit a highlight somewhere on the card.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's nice to have two defending champs back. You got Noble Drama and, like you said, Extravagant Kid. It's a year later now, and there's some new shooters that are gonna take a run at them. A couple I like in the Classic that look interesting. A Last Judgment from Mike Maker. He's been a sprinter, but he's won around two turns. And the up-and-coming four-year-old Roman Empire for Todd Pletcher. in the sprint, I thought a real interesting horse is Super Stonehenge for Mark Cassie, who was second to Ride a Comet in the Kennedy Road in Woodbine. And we saw what Ride a Comet did here last week, coming back to win the Tropical Turf. But Super Stonehenge can run on the dirt. He won his maiden here, got a 95 buyer, if you remember, about 11 months or 10 months ago. So I thought he's a very interesting horse in the sprint. I like you say, Proven Strategies comes into the turf, returning against State Bred Company for the first time since winning an allowance race back in April. He's a much better horse now than he was then. The big concern for Mark Cassie and his connection is the fact that he's done all his best running on the lead, and there's some other speed in here with Monfort and Max KO. Could set up again for Venezuelan Hug, who won the Millions Turf Preview off a contested pace and might get the same scenario here. He will race without Lasix for the first time because of the stakes rule with no Lasix. Actually, I just got off the phone with Danny Gargan to talk to him about Tax, who worked this morning for Pegasus, and he said he has no worries whatsoever about Venezuelan Hug competing without Lasix tomorrow.
We'll talk to you and to Marty next week, so we'll get all the Pegasus stuff done then. The field is kind of morphed. Don't need to go through it now. Anything interesting in that fourth or sixth, those two maiden races?
I'm already on Sunday's card, so I got to kind of go back. Let me see here.
You don't have it. Not a bit. Just I can tell everybody. I can reiterate.
Yeah,
Alexander.
You know, the sixth race is a 5 furlong turf. You got a few interesting shooters in there. The fourth race, you know, they're both turf races. I get a little more excited on these maiden 3-year-old races when they're on the dirt. And we have one of those today, actually, that's kind of interesting. Oh, no, actually, that's an older horse race today. But, you know, these grass races, Mark Cassie is courageously, Lucky Law for Patrick Biancone, who was well back. They got a brutal trip last time, first time out. I think they might be the two major players in that mile turf race tomorrow. But, you know, there's some interesting workout reports that you think you might want to take a look at for those races as well. But, again, you know, I get more excited when these three-year-old maiden races are on the main track because you always start thinking – these are horses you're going to maybe see in the Fountain of Youth and maybe even the Florida Derby down the road. But it is a good card, the second half of the card, especially tomorrow with those four stakes. You know, very bettable races. So looking forward to it. I think First Post, as a reminder, is pretty early tomorrow. I think it's
11:45.
11:45 tomorrow, yeah. And then back again. Even though we have 11 races Sunday, it's back again at 12:05 on Sunday.
Mike, I really appreciate it, and we'll look forward to talking next week ahead of Pegasus.
Okay, I'll be here.
Where else are you going to be? DRF Welsh, everybody. We'll get Marty, too, in for his first look at South Florida next week. And I want to thank Hammer and David Duggan at Golden Gate, Dick Powell, James Scully, Marcus Hirsch, Nick Tamaro, and Mike just now. Good luck if you're playing, everybody. I'll see about these Turfway and Sam Houston, see if we can't put something together for later tonight. After a fun couple of pops yesterday. Good luck all weekend, and Monday, MLK Day holiday, and we'll talk to you then. Thanks.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.